to us. This week I was going through my email and I subscribed to Christianity Today, and one of the headlines said that only 41% of self-professed Christians believe that Jesus existed before his incarnation. So of those who claimed some stripe of Christianity, most of those people didn't understand the biblical presentation of who Jesus is. But Jesus is God's gift to us. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, probably the most famous verse in the Bible, is John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And this tells us what Christmas is about. Christmas is about love. It says, "For God so loved the world." Now here it is, God the Father so loved the world that he gave his Son Jesus to us. So it is about the love of the Father. When we think about Christmas and we think about God's gift to us, we're reminded that he did so because of his great love for us. And so Christmas is about the love of God. And it's astounding because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve God's love. One of the things I like about Google, I'm a Gen Xer, okay? So I'm the forgotten generation between the, you know, the baby boomers and the millennials. There was this little slice Gen Xers that, you know, but we grew up before the internet. And so there's not a lot of proof around of things that were around when we were kids. I remember one toy that I got one Christmas, and I went to go and look it up. I could only find one picture online of this toy that I wanted for months when I was a little kid. But there was this game show that it was so bad it didn't even last a season. I think it was only like 6 or 8 episodes and they pulled it. But the name of it was So You Think You Have Troubles. I doubt any of you remember it. If you did, that's amazing. I finally Googled it. I found it. But it was the dumbest premise you could think of. It was this guy, and he was a ventriloquist with his dummy. Okay, that's how it starts out. And people would come in and share their problems. And there were all these random problems, hence the name So You Think You Have Troubles. And they would have 3 panelists. And it could be anything from like a fitness guru to a psychologist, you name it. And this person, after they divulge all of their problems, each of the people would give advice, and they would have to pick one of the people to take their advice, and the audience would pick, and if they matched, they won a prize. And that was the whole premise of the show. Watching it, the point of it was really like, well, you think you have troubles, listen to these people. But the reality of it is that we all have troubles. We live in a world that is filled with trouble. You know, you watch the news and they say, well, as long as you don't count fuel and food and shelter, there's not much inflation. We have troubles. We have financial worries. We worry about what's going to happen in the next year. We worry medically. The virus that's been around for almost 2 years now, we wonder, well, it seems like this next version of it isn't as bad, but it's 10 times as contagious. So what's going to happen in January? We worry about family problems and emotional pain and physical difficulties, not to mention dependencies and addictions and other problems. But the Bible says we have a deeper problem. And that problem is sin. Sin is always in relationship to God. Sin is everything that we do that we shouldn't do. And it's also everything we don't do that we should. All of the things that we know we ought to do and we don't do, the Bible says those are sin, as well as all of those things that we do that we shouldn't. One author, R.C. Sproul, said, "Sin is cosmic rebellion towards God." It's cosmic rebellion. It's us shaking our fist at God and saying, we're going to do it our own way, the way we want to do it. And so when we ask ourselves, why do we have troubles? Why do we have problems? Ultimately, it's because we are sinners and we can't save ourselves. And this is why Christmas is so amazing. It's while we were in this state of sin, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That God loved us so much that he sent his Son. The message of Christmas is God's love. He didn't wait until we got our act together because we'd never get our act together. We can't fix ourselves. We can't undo the past. It's something that we can't do, and God knew this full well. He knew that left to ourselves that we would never get out of our trouble because we are sinners by nature and we prove it every day by the things that we do. That we're rebellious people who would never get our act together and never turn to him if we were left on our own. And so this verse says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only Son. Christmas is about giving. It's about God giving us the greatest gift. It's about God giving us his Son. Giving is one of the great things that we can do. And, for many of us, we're going to give gifts and receive gifts from one another. And it's not anything that we've earned or deserved. It's given to us. We don't pay for it. We don't try to pay them back. We just receive the gift that's been given to us. Christmas isn't about what we give to God. It's what God has given to us. Christmas is the time that we remember God's gift of Jesus. We're reminded of all the needs that are in the world and all the giving that's done, but the greatest gift was the gift that God gave. He gave us his only begotten Son. God gave us Jesus. Jesus, for all of eternity, is and was God, the second person of the Trinity. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God, that there is one God who exists simultaneously in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That Jesus, before he was born, was God the Son and was so in fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. And he enjoyed this unbroken relationship with the Father and with the Spirit. But the Bible tells us that God left the glories of heaven. His glory was veiled and he came to earth. He was born of a virgin. He took upon himself a human nature so that he was fully God and fully man. That he identified with us in taking on our humanity. The Bible puts it this way, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And this is a great mystery, that God took upon himself a human nature. And notice what this verse says. It says that Jesus came to redeem us. He came to buy us back. He came to pay the penalty that we owe to purchase a place in heaven for us. So that the debt of sin that we owe, that we could never repay, he paid for with his own life when he died on the cross. And so he paid this debt that we owe. And he offers this gift to us, to all who will receive it. He gives us the right to become sons and daughters of God. There is a gift that God offers to each one. And that is the gift of forgiveness of sins and a relationship with him forever, eternal life. That we know that if today were our last day, we would go to be with God in heaven. And we can have that certainty and that assurance of it. And so that we understand that Christmas is about God's love and Christmas is about the Son, Jesus. But the next point is vital to understanding the true meaning of Christmas, and that is Christmas is about receiving. Because that famous verse says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, who doesn't like receiving a gift? We love to receive gifts. We love to give gifts, but we love to receive them. But in order for it to become ours, we need to receive it. We need to make it our own. We need to appropriate it. It isn't enough to know that a gift exists. We have to make it our own. And that's what John 3:16 reminds us, and that's what Christmas reminds us. The birth story that was read earlier in Luke chapter 2, why did God send his son? He sent his son as a gift to us, but that we must receive this gift that he's given. And that gift is Jesus. Jesus took upon himself a human nature, but he was born to die. He lived a perfect life that we could never live. He was sinless, perfect. He fully obeyed the law of the Father. And then he died on the cross, but he died as a substitute to take our place, to absorb the full wrath of God that we deserve. And he did this to pay the penalty so that we who turn to God in faith receive forgiveness and begin a new life with him. And the Bible tells us he will never reject anyone who sincerely turns away from himself and turns to Christ in faith, repenting of sin and asking Christ to come into his life. No one is too messed up and too far gone that God is not able to reach them. And that is the gospel. That is the good news. It's the gift of Christmas. Let me close by sharing a story that I've shared many times. It's a fictional story, but it makes a true point. Once there was a man by the name of Garcia who lived in a communist country. And he was the leader of a group that was trying to overthrow the government, to overthrow the dictator that was oppressing him. Well, one night, one of Garcia's lieutenants came up to him and said, "Garcia, somebody has stolen food and we only have a limited supply, but somebody continues to come at night when we're not aware and take some of the supplies." And Garcia was outraged by this because food was in short supply. And so he summoned all of the people who were in the village and all of his soldiers, and he announced to them publicly that anybody who was caught stealing food would be publicly whipped. Not too long after that, several nights later, one of the lieutenants came back up to him and said, "Garcia, somebody has again tried to steal food, but this time we caught the person." And before the guard could say another word, Garcia said, "That person will stand trial tomorrow and will receive a just punishment." The lieutenant continued, said, "But Garcia, you don't understand. The person that we caught was your mother." And so Garcia was caught in the horns of a dilemma because on the one hand, he loves his elderly mother and he knows that if she were to be punished, she would never survive it. But on the other hand, he knew that if he didn't do what was right and just, that he would lose all authority and respect of all of the people. And so the next morning, they march his mother up in front of him, in front of all of the people. And he makes his pronouncement and says, "You have violated the law and you are guilty and the punishment is a public whipping." But just as they're about to take his mother away to the center courtyard to whip her, Garcia steps out and he takes off his jacket and he takes off his shirt and he says, "But I will take her punishment for her that she deserves." In this way, justice was satisfied and love was extended. And this is what God chose to do in the situation that we face. We deserve the consequences of our sinful choices. We deserve, when we stand before a sinless, perfect God, to receive a just punishment. But God himself came to earth and died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And this is a gift that he offers to each one who will hear and receive it. If you will believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, that he was a full sacrifice satisfying the righteous judgment of the Father, the Bible says that you will be forgiven and have eternal life. God has given you his gift, the gift of Jesus this Christmas. Have you received that gift? Have you opened it? Have you made it your own? We're going to watch a short video reminding us of this. I think that's our theme for the night. I'll give it another second if it doesn't go. The point of it is the unopened gift. But obviously more impactful when there's narration.
The wrapping paper.
They're going to try it again? Okay, I think we... Okay, we'll move on. It is, the video, of course, just highlights what we were talking about, you know, with all of the gifts that we receive at Christmas, sometimes we're so busy with everything else that we forget about the true meaning of Christmas, and the gift of Jesus remains unopened. And so it's a reminder to us to focus on Jesus and to remember the true reason why we celebrate Christmas. But we did want to take an opportunity to have a candlelight service. And let me read a couple of passages of Scripture to give a little bit of the meaning of the illustration of what we're about to do. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus then said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So from Jesus, who was the true light of the world, he gave that light to his disciples to pass on. The light of the truth of the gospel, of the good news that Jesus died and rose again so that we could be forgiven. From one life touching another, from one generation to another, from one country to another, until the light of Christ has come into our own lives. And so we too now have this privilege of sharing that with others. And so as the flame has passed from one to another, remember that Jesus is the true light that came into the world, and that we now are the light of the world, shining in the darkness, passing on the message of forgiveness and hope in Christ. And so as I light the light from the Christ candle, and then I will pass it on, just as a practical encouragement, for you that have the unlit candle, you may want to tip it over into the lit candle and not the other way, so that the wax doesn't spill on you, but just a reminder of that as we hear the music played, and then we'll sing together once everyone has their candle lit.
Thank you.
Will you join me as I close this in prayer? Father, sometimes we're reminded in humorous ways that we are not perfect. But Lord, there's a deeper truth to that, that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we could never fix ourselves or erase the past, but we don't have to, because you sent your Son to be born of a virgin, taking upon himself human flesh, being fully God and fully man, living a perfect life and dying on the cross to take the punishment that we deserve, to absorb the penalty that is truly ours, and in return giving us forgiveness of sins and clothing us with his righteousness. And so as we go, as we eat, as we celebrate, let us remember Jesus. And let us be sure that of all the gifts, that that is the one that is truly ours, that we have opened and we've received Christ as our Savior. We thank you and praise you for this night. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.